You're listening to the Jason Greger Show podcast brought to you by Lakewood Chev. This weekend, no lie, every Corvette and Camaro at cost. There is no special markup. That's it. You walk in, you're going to need any Camaro, any Corvette at cost. This weekend only, Lakewood Chev. Because of the timing of this, we had a lot of Eskimos alumni, but it's tough to get the Eskimo players because they're always on the field. I don't know if our next guest is a golfer or not. We'll find out. He is the general manager of the Edmonton Eskimos as they are 3 days away from their first preseason game against the Calgary Stampeders, who did play last night against the BC Lions. Brock Sutherland joins us once again. Brock, do you like to hit the links?
I love to play golf. I'm horrible at it, but I love to play.
Oh, okay. Well, I appreciate your honesty. Nice. What's the best part and worst part of your golf game?
The worst part is my slice, without a doubt. And the best part is just being out on the course and kind of disconnecting from the world during the 9 or 18.
Nice. Now, as a GM, how much do you watch the other team's preseason games, if anything?
We watch them. We watch them in detail. We evaluate everybody that we think potentially may get cut. So it's a very vital, important role for us.
Okay. So do you watch it live like you can, or do you find watching on tape the next day is the best way to evaluate?
Tape's always the best way because you can always rewind. There's 24 guys on the field. So to try to look at all of them, we call it TV scouting. And TV scouting, you can notice things, and it does help, but a thorough evaluation is certainly on film.
You have a preseason game, and Jason Moss has already stated that you're probably going to play more of a veteran team at home, like a lot of teams do, and then on the road, it's preseason. You want your home base fans to see your starters, and I totally understand that. A lot of times, you don't necessarily see the other team's best players. So what do you look for in the evaluation of training camp when you know that a lot of times your starters aren't necessarily going against the other team's starters?
Well, in a preseason game, our starters, we just want to get some work for them so they get some live bullets. When they go into the regular season, they've got some reps under their belt at a live game. And then the rest of it is position battles and guys that are fighting for spots. So we'll use the preseason games accordingly, and we're doing the same at practice here every day.
Now, Brock, the Greenwood injury, devastating for any team to lose a starter. Hurts a little bit more when it's a Canadian who you thought would be a ratio buster. And you still got some young guys backing up. How does that change, if anything, your approach to that? Are you still expecting to start the season with the Canadian linebacker starting?
That's still the expectation. You know, Adam Konar stepped in. He's done a great job. Doug Parrish, Blair Smith, and Chris Malumba are all guys that have more than capable. And like we said, those guys are professional athletes, so... it's horrible just personally for Corey. We feel disappointed that he's gone down. We know he put a lot of work into the offseason, that he's very passionate about the game. So it's disappointing. We know he's a good player, but we have complete confidence in the rest of those guys, and we feel we can win with them.
It's been about 10 days now of camp, give or take. What have you thought of your secondary? Is that the one overall position? I know you evaluate every position, but because of, you know, a lot of potential change there, maybe you spend a little extra attention just to see how certain guys are doing?
Well, I think everybody in the secondary is playing really well. And then we have some guys, and I won't name names, but we have some guys that we think are having arguably the best camp of any position group in the secondary. We feel we have a lot of depth, in particular at Canadian, at free safety. We have some guys that are talented enough to play strong corner, which is what we call the field corner. So we feel great about our secondary, but we don't look at that more than every other position. We're evaluating every position and every player on the roster, so we give everybody equal attention, basically.
In your defense, what are the things that your strong side corner is going to have to be successful?
Well, I'm not going to get into schematics on air. I'm going to protect our schemes here a little bit, but every corner, strong side corner, strong corner in the field is more athleticism, and it's the closest DB position. When I say DB, I talk corner, halfback, to free safety. So range, feet, pedal, break on the ball, and anticipation are all skill sets that translate to successful position play there.
Having been around the league for as long as you have, I've talked to a lot of players who come up for, you know, guys who have been NFL safeties, and a lot of people tell me they think maybe the secondary might be the toughest position to transfer from either NCAA or even the NFL because, A, the wide field, B, you throw in DBs who sometimes have never seen slot backs coming in motion. From your experience, can you see right away how a guy reacts, or do you have to be, you know, give them a little bit more rope because it is such a drastic change from that position from what they're used to that maybe they need a little bit more reps than other positions?
They definitely need more reps at that position, without a doubt, for everything that you just said. The size of the field, the five defensive backs as opposed to four, the waggle motion, the Sam, or what we call here the nickel, your Sam linebacker is basically another defensive back. So it's drastically different, and it's certainly the most difficult transition from four-down football to three-down football.
Can you tell me, you know, for Eskimo fans, when they get out to the game on Sunday, kick returner, and I know it's not just a kick returner. You need, obviously, good blocking schemes. You need guys to stay in their lanes and know their responsibilities. But, you know, having an electrifying kick returner is something that Edmonton hasn't had in a while. And there's a lot of really good ones around the league. And as you know, of course, special teams can be huge. Any guys kind of caught your attention that you think fans might pay attention to on Sunday?
Well, we haven't done anything live, so I'd be lying if I sat here and said somebody's done a great job in camp because we haven't gone full go on returners. So that's what Sunday's for, and that's, again, what we're going to use the Calgary and the Winnipeg games is to find out who that guy is. So we're eagerly looking forward to seeing who's going to step up and claim that spot.
Do you find the ability to cut or the ability to read the blocks is more vital for a kick returner?
I think both. I think instincts, I mean, first and foremost, catching the ball. In this league in particular, kick returning is one thing, but punt returning in the CFL is a whole another dimension. And knowing the rules inside and out, when to take two, when to let the ball go, when to field it, understanding the field position aspect, what a rouge is. A lot of these guys don't understand that. And understanding that last person to touch the ball before it goes out of bounds gets possession, it's a whole new set of rules. So kind of what you're talking about with defensive backs, when you're coming from U.S. football or four-down football, it's very challenging. So the first and foremost is understanding those things and not giving up a possession. And then from that point on is being electric and flipping the field. And if we can get 10 to 15 on a return with how explosive we feel our offense potentially can be, our P and 10, possession and 10, if we get 10 to 15 yards, that's like your first play on offense, and that would be good as long as you're not turning the ball over. Anything on top of that's gravy, and we're looking for some playmakers back there.
Brock, any update on negotiations with your first-round pick, Nate Behar?
No, you know, that's not something we're going to discuss publicly, and we're status quo in that regard.
How much of a concern is it for you to have a young guy, especially miss, you know, such a lengthy part of training camp where, you know, you're not reading the playbook, it really puts him behind the eight ball?
Well, it does. I mean, our playbook in particular is one that is very deep, it's very big, and it just takes reps to get it. So not only him, but everybody, I think if you come in now or after now, it puts you behind the eight ball significantly.
If you don't have quality Canadians, it's really difficult to win. Obviously, you need great Americans as well, but you need quality Canadians who can play. You guys had a lot of picks this year. Boateng, of course, out of Wilfrid Laurier. A lot of people were raving about that pick and many other ones. How's Boateng look so far in camp?
He looks very good. He's giving great effort. He's dialing in. He's picking up the schemes, and he's got very athletic. He's explosive off the ball, and we're extremely happy with him so far.
What was it about Brett Smith you just felt like he wasn't a fit for your quarterbacks moving forward?
We just thought that there's other guys out there that we liked a little bit better. It's not a negative on Brett, and it's not that he didn't do some of the things asked of him entirely. We just it's competition. It's pro football, and if we feel there's somebody that's better that can help this organization win better than someone else, we're going to go to that next person, and that's a scenario that he got caught up in.
Is it safe for me to assume that Franklin is not a guy that you have any interest in moving during this season? I know it's the last year of his contract. I'm sure you'd like to talk extension. He's a guy who might want to consider starting. But it'd be safe to say that you plan on having him all through this season?
Well, you never want to predict what can happen. I mean, scenarios change day to day in pro football, so unexpected things can certainly happen. But our intent absolutely is to have him here. He's a great person. He's a great Eskimo. He's a very good football player. And solidifying that quarterback spot's very, very important to us, and he does that for us.
You guys have had a lot of cuts. You've also been bringing people in, Brock, and obviously as a new GM and in any pro sport, you like to bring in some guys maybe that you feel a little bit more comfortable with. Do you still have a list? Like, should we expect more of that, or now moving forward, is it more so going to be reducing the number of players here rather than still bringing more in?
Well, we're going to bring players in on a need basis. If we, similar to the Brett Smith scenario that we touched on, if there's someone out there that we think can better this organization, we're always going to bring them in and create competition on the day-to-day at practice. We have a ready list, so throughout the season when injuries occur, or as I mentioned earlier, if there's other teams, we mentioned evaluating other preseason games, if there's players that are cut by other organizations that we feel fit what we do better or can improve us, we're always going to look for better players. That's the lifeblood of football is talent, and as we say, every rock, every day, meaning we're going to look under every rock every day to better our roster.
Do you go out on the road scouting during the season, or is that more for your regional scouts? How does it work? Like, what's kind of your strategy now?
Both. I'll be out when I can. You know, this first year I'll probably be in-house a little bit more, but we have very good scouts, and I'm going to trust their opinion. And with today's technology, a lot of the stuff that they're seeing, I can see within a day or two on film. So we'll approach it with a two-pronged approach, which is trusting our area scouts, and then I'll get out there as much as I can as well.
And you mentioned first year in Edmonton, Brock. You've had a few weeks now to get comfortable being the GM. As you move forward, what do you feel are going to be the most important things that you need to do in the next month or two as the GM of the Eskimos?
Just field the best team and get the depth in line. Like I said, that ready list, because injuries do occur, and you have to be ready for them. And when they do happen, you can't panic, and the season doesn't stop and wait for you. So having that list of players, the next man up, I think that's the most vital thing every organization can have. So that's what we're focused on now on the personnel side.
Brock, as always, great to talk to you. We'll see you down at Commonwealth on Friday.
Thanks for having me. Look forward to seeing you.
Brock Sunderland, general manager of the Edmonton Eskimos.